This is a tune that I learned from Doc Watson a long time ago, and I got the words wrong on my version, but that's what makes it my version, and now other people can listen to my version and learn the wrong words. So this is Make Me Down a Pallet on Your Floor.
Make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me down a pallet soft and low. When I'm broken, I got nowhere to go. Been hanging around with good time friends of mine. Hanging around with good time friends of mine. Oh, they treat me very nice and kind. When I got a dollar and a dime, weary blues everywhere I see. Weary blues in everywhere I see. Weary blues in everywhere I see. No one's ever had the blues like me. When I'm sleeping, my back and shoulders tight. Way I'm sleeping, my back and shoulders tight. Come tomorrow, I'll be satisfied. If I can catch a fast train and ride. So make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me down a pallet soft and low. If I'm broken, I got nowhere to go.
One of my last questions to Gil and David at Midlands all those years ago was, do you have a new album? Are you working on a new album? What's the story?
As soon as we can.
I mean, have you started it, or?
Yeah, we've started it.
Which
wow,
means?
I got a big chuckle. I almost made you spit that out.
I was going to say the, anything that we would say would probably be wrong, so
there's no,
I mean, it's not trying to withhold information,
yes,
so much as
it's
trying to,
by Christmas.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. It's just that I get pestered, therefore I'm going
to
pester
no,
you.
No, so, you'll have to just tell them that you couldn't bring it out of us because we don't know.
We had people from our record company here at the show today. They were very curious when our next record was coming out.
Hold on, from your record company, you are your record company.
We are our record company, but we have people outside of America
who distribute.
Yeah, we're affiliated with WEA here.
And do you hate being record company executives?
Well, we don't have to worry about it too much.
Yeah, we don't worry about it too much.
Our acts haven't made records that often.
So. Yeah, our acts don't put out that many records.
We badger them.
Yeah.
All right. I'll stop.
No, it's okay.
Well, as long as you've enjoyed the festival surely enjoyed you. I will not ask any more questions about future plans.
Well, you can ask.
No, I wouldn't. I don't want to kick anybody when they're far too happy. Thank you very much for coming
well,
in and talking
thank
to
you.
Us.
Well,
it's good to talk to you again.
How have you been filling your time? It's a long time.
We've been busy, shockingly.
Yeah,
you know. Though there's been no official release, for me, for years. We've been busy. I guess we... We toured quite a bit since the last time we saw you. You know, possibly toured a little too much on the end of Soul Journey. Yeah, it was the first time we really embarked on a global tour, was with Soul Journey. And I think we kind of went a little too long.
Part of the problem of being on tour for so long is that it ended up being a problem, David and airplanes.
Well, I don't know that I never really liked to fly very much. You know, the airports got a lot less pleasant, even in and of themselves. It seemed like a terrible way to live your life. You know, it's hard enough to go there if you just need to go on the holidays to go visit your family somewhere else. But if you happen to be out in there every day, I can hardly think of a less creative or enjoyable way to go about things. So we started traveling a little bit more by car, or pretty much exclusively by car.
Yeah,
and obviously we got on an airplane to come over here, and we'll get on one to go back, but that'll probably
be... Are you doing everything land journey while you're here?
Yes, everything here.
We're driving ourselves. Hired a right-hand drive car in Oslo, and have driven the whole thing all through Europe and then over here to the tunnel.
I think we put about 30,000 miles on the car in the U.S.
we've driven 30,000 miles since then. So,
do you write on tour ever?
Some. I mean, this driving thing, it started end of last year, is really when we completely stopped flying. And trips that take 30 hours to drive, we were doing them instead of getting on airplanes. You know, one of the big differences between the flying and the driving is there's actual sort of cultural input when you drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was reminded, you know, even back home, you know, that even just reading all the road signs that go by, it's poetry and history.
Yeah.
All rolled every, you know, now you're entering the Cherokee Nation. Okay.
Yeah.
And then your brain starts.
You see a little bit of what that means.
Yeah.
I just said, you know, there's something that I described it as dislocating in a particular way, but it's also, there's a particular kind of weightlessness or, there's a sense of not existing that always seemed to creep into my world when one day I would be in one city and then the next day I would be 2,000 miles away. It was very, it's very strange. I mean, there is some kind of, there's a certain kind of art that I see that would be very, that you could use that feeling, but it seemed, as we started to do this, that there was a feeling of gathering weight and momentum and substance that we just kept inching toward as we, you know, mile by mile, that did contribute in a large way to the writing of these songs and the writing of this record. I hear it as a very earthy record, and as a very, it's substantial in a particular way. I mean, it's very difficult when you're working on a project to know exactly what it is, and certainly I'm still too close to it to know exactly, but there was the moment towards the end of the recording when we first played through the songs, listened back to them, and actually it happened to be the moment that they got sequenced, because the first order I played them
in February, right, as we'd been in the studio about 3 weeks, because we basically recorded the record.
That's really quick.
It's pretty quick.
About a month.
That's about how long it usually takes us.
Okay.
It's about a month.
About 4 or 5 weeks.
And we'd been in Nashville working, and it was interesting. We didn't take any of the music out of the studio to listen to the whole time. We just left it, you know, just left the tapes, didn't burn CDs. You know, just left the music in the studio. And so this one night when it felt like the pile had sort of accumulated to a point, and Dave said, well, let's listen down to it, you know? And he just started going through the tracks in order, and he spontaneously chose an order. One song, we have one outtake from the record, a song that got pulled.
Yeah.
And so the one thing that happened was he started to play that song, and he's like, and he substituted another song, And that is the record.
Okay, because
it was an amazing listening.
Wow.
But to get sort of, to backtrack just a little bit to that feeling of like earthiness and substance, at that moment it felt as though whatever that collection of songs was, it sort of poked its head up, you know, through the soil, and you could see a little something, and you're like, well, okay, this thing exists and it has an identity, and whatever it is, we knew two things at that point, or I with my producer hat on, you know, I knew two things. One was that it had an identity, and the second thing was I was sure that it wasn't our worst record. And that was all that we needed to do to release it. Like, truthfully, I mean, that may not seem like a lot, but it was a huge thing, because you don't want to be doing your worst work. And I was like, I'm sure that this has...
Well, and that sort of necessitates putting it out. In other words, if you have that one certainty that it's not your worst work, which you have to understand, we were coming off years of uncertainty. Okay.
In your own validity, or the value of your work, or what?
Well, of our current work.
Okay.
We had spent years of wondering where we were at, and if
and writing songs we didn't like.
Doing work that we liked.
Really?
And we kept deciding we were doing work we didn't like. And so, just to get to the point where we were both certain that this was not our worst work, was enough and was a great point to get to, because it meant, okay, we have to release.
Thank you very much for having talked to me. I love the new album. Six White Horses just, it invokes the same feeling in me that Guy Clark's New Cut Road does. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Huh. I'm glad people like that one. That's such a funny little, it's a kind of modest song, and I was proud of the work we did on that. I don't know what to say, except it seems like a real song.
It makes me think of Ohio apple orchards and all sorts of peculiar things.
That's good.
You know,
it's funny, I'll tell you, just because it's strange where that song was started. That song got started, I believe, on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles. And I was driving.
But you were listening.
And I was listening.
Stanley,
I was
right?
listening to the record.
Yeah.
There's a record of Ralph Stanley that's just all Clawhammer songs.
Yeah.
It makes me happy, because now I feel as though, in a small way, we can take our place alongside. You know, that song can take its place alongside Dark as a Dungeon, and 16 Tons, and a couple other very unusual songs.
What would have happened if you'd never heard that Ralph Stanley record, or the Stanley Brothers record?
Who knows?
By Gillian Welsh and David Rawlings, who were talking to Sandy Harsh. The producer of the program was Aidan Butler. You're tuned